Amen. Lord God, thank you that you're always with us by your Holy Spirit, and that whatever we do and wherever we go, there is always opportunity to worship you and to praise you and to live for you. Lord, open our eyes to the possibilities of worshipping you throughout the week, of enjoying your presence throughout the week. Will you bless us, Lord, as we come to your word now and challenge us in those respects as well. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to have our reading from God's word, and the passage that we're looking at this evening is Luke chapter 10, apologies for that. Helen looks a bit relieved. So Luke chapter 10, and we're reading from verse 25 to verse 37. In this particular church Bible, it's on page 1042. So Luke chapter 10, from verses 25 to 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What's written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You've answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "Who's my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man who was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, pass by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he travelled, came to where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, poured on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." He's going to pray for us and for Helen as we prepare to hear what she has to say. Lord God, thank you for what is such a wonderful and challenging and encouraging passage. Lord, thank you, Jesus, for your words that we have recorded. And thank you for your Holy Spirit to help us understand and to meet with you through them. Thank you for Helen and her faith and her wisdom and her preparation and how you've been speaking to her. Will you be speaking through everything this evening, Lord Jesus, drawing us into a closer walk with you, and to live in a way that is more and more in step with you, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Good evening, everyone. It's nice to see you. So I have the privilege tonight of talking about the parable of the Good Samaritan, and I'm going to divide it broadly into 3 parts. So we'll talk about Jesus and about the teacher of the law, and then we'll move on to look at the characters within the parable itself. And then we'll finish by talking a little bit about application. So, do you ever read the Bible and think that Jesus is just incapable of directly answering a question? You know, when he said, "What authority do you have?" he says, "Oh, well, what authority did John have? Who are you? Well, who do you say that I am?" And Peter spoke last week about why Jesus uses parables, and you know, that's good, but I have to say, as a straight-talking Yorkshire woman, if it was anyone other than Jesus, I would really find this quite irritating. Because the teacher of the law comes to him, and he says, "How do I get eternal life?" And Jesus replies, "Well, what does the scripture say? True to form." Let's think a bit about the nature of the person asking the question, the teacher of the law. And it says in our translation, doesn't it, he stood up to test Jesus. And we know throughout Scripture that the Pharisees and the scribes, the teachers of the law, they were all very keen on trying to discredit Jesus, trying to ask him a question that he wouldn't know the answer to, or trying to get him to say something to incriminate himself. And we believe this is probably his motivation here, and certainly the translation says it's to test Jesus. I don't know if any part of this man had seen something in Jesus that had made him think, actually, this is the one who can tell me how do I get eternal life, or if he was purely trying to test him. But he poses this question to Jesus. And of course, Jesus knows he's a teacher of the law, he knows Scripture, he knows the answer. So, true to form, he throws it back at him and says, well, what does the law say? What do you think? And of course, the man answers with those much loved words of love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. Do this and you live. And Jesus says, yep, good, bash on. But the man is still trying to question and still trying to push. And he says, ah, but who counts as my neighbour? How fascinating that he asks that rather than, how do I love God and my neighbour better? Instead, he says, but who's my neighbour? Now, if you'd never heard this story before and someone stopped you there and said, what do you think Jesus said? You'd say, well, everyone, isn't it? Your family, your friends, people you work with, people you meet day to day, we're supposed to be concerned for everyone. Everyone is our neighbour. And that's what I would almost have expected Jesus to say. But Jesus is really much more patient than me. And instead of simply answering that way, he teases the answer out of the person asking the question. Now, I'm not a teacher, but I know that this is recognised as a better method of training and educating people to try and lead them to answer their own questions and therefore understand things better. Fortunately, Jesus is better at this than I am. And I would have just said, everyone get on with it. So Jesus tells a story. And we come to the characters within the story. So firstly, we have this injured man. We don't really know a lot about him. Was he a nice guy? Was he kind? Was he generous? Was he mean? Was he miserly? Was he really quite unpleasant? We don't know. And I think that the parable is more powerful for the fact that we don't know. Because actually, Jesus saves each and every one of us, whether we're that nice guy that everyone wants to help, or whether we're that mean, miserly, quite unpleasant person. Jesus wants to save us all, just as the Samaritan character does. So then enter the two other characters onto the scene. The natural allies of the injured man, the Hebrew, the priest. Surely they will be the ones to see this injured man, this desperate man, this gentleman who's close to death, unable to help himself, and they will go and they will help him. But they don't. Why don't they? It seems bizarre, doesn't it? Surely if you saw someone in that state, you would go over and give them a hand. Especially if they were your brother in God, if they're one of your flock, of course you would go over and help them. So why don't they? Why don't they go? And we don't know. But we do know the downsides of going to help him. It's a bit of a dirty job binding up wounds. It's not very nice. It's hard work. And there was significant expense to the person who ultimately did help him. And inconvenience. Delayed him a day on his journey. I don't know if the priest and the fellow Hebrew who turned away from this poor dying man actually just thought, what I need to do today is more important than anything else, and so I'm not going to stop and help him. And it seems incredibly cold and hard, doesn't it? But then I think of how many less extreme examples that we probably face during our day when we prioritise what our own agenda is and maybe don't see the need that's there around us that Jesus was so much better at seeing. And then enters the hero of the piece, doesn't he? The Samaritan, the good guy, the one that we all want to be like. But he was the enemy of this poor, injured, dying man, wasn't he? I think it's very difficult in today's society where prejudice, racism, sexism of any form is not only frowned upon but is illegal. But actually in this context, the two people were alien to one another. They were unclean to one another. He's the last one that you would expect to reach out to this bleeding, dirty, helpless man and bind up his wounds. So why does he do it? Why does he do it? Because there's a man in front of him in desperate need, and he goes and meets that need, and he saves him, and he rescues him. He binds up his wounds. He takes him on his own donkey, at his own expense, to the innkeeper, and he says, look after him and charge his debt to my account. And ultimately, this parable really is about who Jesus is, isn't it? About how Jesus comes. And regardless of who we are, just as regardless of who this man was, he sees our need and he comes and he binds us up. He takes our debt upon himself as he did on the cross and he charges it to himself. And that's how he saves us. I'd like to touch on application for a few minutes. I thought the easiest example would probably be thinking about kindness of strangers. And I thought of a couple of day-to-day examples. Have you ever been a little bit late for work and you've been trying to get out at the end of a busy junction and then some kind person just stops for you and you just think, oh, thank you so much. Or if you ever dropped something, I quite often do this with a glove in winter, and someone picks it up and you're like, oh, thank goodness, it would have been really annoying if I'd lost that. I've done it with my credit card as well, which is quite stupid. But things that people don't have to do. But they're being a neighbour to you, aren't they? That is an everyday, really obvious application. And when I was thinking about this, I thought of a story that I was witness to. A couple of years ago, I was at the Edinburgh Festival with my brother. I don't know if you've ever been, but it's generally like really packed and really hot and really chaotic. And just in front of us, walking along the street, was a young mother with a child in a pushchair and another child just walking beside her. And the child behind her had a balloon. And all of a sudden, we heard this cry because she'd let the balloon go. And the balloon had already gone too far for the mother to kind of reach for it or to, like, leave her kids and run after it. Those of us gathered around were all going, oh, what a shame, bless. Apart from the person who had been standing next to me, who, really quite impressively, legged it down the street, weaving in and out, and I was thinking, he's never going to get it. And he grabbed this balloon, and he brought it back and presented it to the little girl. She was happy. She went from crying to smiles. The mother told him he was a star. And I was like, that's my brother. He did that. And it's a small story, isn't it? It's a tiny thing in the grand scheme of things. But he was a neighbour to that little girl, to her mum. And actually, everyone who saw that day was a little bit better for having seen it. So we're called to show kindness to strangers. But even more than that, the Samaritan doesn't just show kindness to a stranger, he shows kindness to someone who is an enemy. And I don't think today we really have enemies in quite the same traditional sense that these two people were. But I doubt I'm the only person who maybe has the odd person who kind of gets on my nerves a little bit, who's at work and they're a bit annoying. The person who always talks about themselves, the person who always a bit in the way. But actually, God called me to be kind to them, to reach out to them, to see them as a neighbour, which is what the Samaritan did. Because we look at the story of the Samaritan, don't we, and we think, well, obviously you would go and help. If there's someone dying in front of you, of course you'd go and help. But actually the story is much more subtle than that. He's using a very obvious example to show us something that is very much more subtle in our day-to-day lives. And it poses the question, are we taking the opportunities to show love and to be a neighbour to the people that we actually don't naturally click with? I choose that phrase rather than the people we don't actually like very much. And so lastly, I'm going to go back to my little story. Because I thought of that and I thought, oh, that's a cute story, I'll tell them. But then I thought about it a bit more and I thought, why didn't anyone else go? I mean, I didn't. Why didn't anyone else run after that balloon? And I thought, oh, well, probably, you know, David runs 30K a week and you'd make it. And then I thought, well, I think we all thought we wouldn't make it, so we didn't go. But for David, it was a reflex. He saw that there was a need and he didn't stop and think, maybe I'll make it, maybe I won't, there's too many people, oh well, it's too late now. He just went. It was just a reflex. And again, it's a very small thing to use as an analogy. But, you know, when I was thinking, oh yeah, I'm going to say that we should all be thinking about how we can reach out to people, reach out to strangers, love our enemies, love those people that are annoying us. And like, it wouldn't be amazing if one day that we didn't need to think, how can we reach out? How can we be better than neighbours? If it just came to us, if it was just a reflex, like running after that bully. Because if he had paused and thought, maybe I won't get it, he definitely wouldn't have done, because he only just made it. So we need reflexes like that. We need it to be so ingrained within us that we just go. The needs before us and we don't even stop and think. We just go. And so my prayer for all of us here tonight is that they will make us like that Samaritan. That regardless of the inconvenience, of the expense, of the distastefulness to us, when we see the need, we'll just go. Thank you very much for hearing me. Amen.